Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Snap. Jackson going to throw. Takes a look. Pocket collapsing. Drops back. Throws it towards the end zone. It is intercepted in the end zone. Picked off in the end zone. Jordan Poyer stepped in front of that pass. Picked off in the end zone by the Bills veteran safety Jordan Poyer. How about that one?
Jeremy White.
Like, let's have a really stupid conversation about something, but we're not the first to do it.
Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
We've never seen anything like it. We don't know what they're capable of. They're aliens.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You want to start with a Let's Get Stupid?
You got a Let's Get Stupid?
I've got a Let's Get Stupid.
Is it wearing wearing shorts when it's 38 degrees? How cold is it right now? Because I'm wearing shorts.
I did the thing today where I didn't check the weather.
Oh.
And I wore shorts going outside and thought, should I turn around and go back in all the way back upstairs, change my shorts, put pants on?
Yeah, it'd be fine, right? It's going to be, 60 today.
But it was, did not check my app until I was in my car and I saw 38.
Yeah, it's 38. It's cold.
Holy God.
It's cold. We've had golf. So yes. We've had golf league night now for 2 weeks. Both weeks it's been cold.
Last night was windy too.
Yeah, windy and cold is, yeah, you know, dipping down. I was wearing shorts again for that and thought, oof, man, would like a nice night. It's almost June.
We got to be there. We're in the 80s some of these days, right?
Yeah. We're getting there. Next Thursday, a week from today. Oh my God, looking at next week.
What's the Wednesday night though? I didn't mean a good golf league night.
Well, Wednesday night next week at 6 p.m., it'll be 77 degrees.
Oh, love that. That's
like
what we want.
Starting Sunday, again, my phone app, if we want to get Pat Hammer on, we can. My phone says, as of Sunday through the following Saturday, the lowest high temperature, again, that's the lowest
high
of the highs, is 75.
I think that qualifies maybe as a
heat wave.
Heat wave.
Yeah, good. Next week, Wednesday, the high is 84.
Okay.
So we're hitting 80s next week.
Memorial Day, what are we looking at? You get that open.
Looks perfect. Sunny.
Beauty.
82.
Warm enough to be in the water.
Maybe. Water might not be warm enough to be in the water, but
we'll
yes.
See. I might be going down to, you know, like Angola on the lake area, and how warm is that water going to be?
Oh,
I think I'm bringing my suit just in case. It's going to be cold, though, right?
Yeah, it's polar bear. It's polar bear swim full time.
Is that normal? Because I feel like I'm used to going in the water on Memorial Day.
It's always cold.
Yeah.
Yes. The average water temperature in what? In May? You're asking for Lake Erie?
Yeah, late May, though.
Late May?
Yeah, give me a couple days of heating it up here. 70, well, I guess it's 38 right now, so that's not happening.
Right, it's not. It's,
it's not happening today.
Lake Erie water temperature in June is 57.
Okay, maybe water's not the best idea.
Yeah, it doesn't. The water is really, okay. It gets much nicer around August. It takes some time.
Wow.
It takes a full summer. Good morning. It's Thursday. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase. Remind me at some point, we're looking at the screen right now, ESPN, to talk about Rod Brind'Amour at some point.
Just in general?
Well, no, they got swept out. It's not anything other than, I can just tell you right now, I saw an interview he did with Elliot Friedman where he laid out the process by which the NHL should review everything. Every single thing.
Rod.
He wanted.
What does he want?
He wants every penalty reviewed. Every single one.
Really?
Yes. He was trying to explain
penalties, even
penalty, every single penalty. So he has to sit down with Elliot Friedman, and I'm watching this, and Elliot's like, "Okay, I see it. I get what you're saying." Brendan Moore, what he wants is for when there's a penalty called, someone else immediately starts to look to see if it was a penalty. And any time that is used right there, you go to a quick commercial, and then you come back, and you kind of, I guess the best way I could describe this is he was treating it like snow days in school. You have an allotted amount of time you're going to use, and if you use a lot of it, you steal it from the bank you have at the end.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Brendan Moore was saying, oh, we had four penalties and 4 minutes of review. Those 4 minutes that were scheduled to be commercials later in the period, we won't take those breaks. And that's how we get it all in the same amount of time. That was his idea.
That makes some sense, doesn't it? I know what he's trying to do.
He's trying to just fill the time
where they're doing nothing.
Well, he's trying to get everything right. And the biggest answer would be no one's going to want to sit through that. And his answer is we will just move the commercials around the reviews.
But he's telling you you don't have to really sit through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do, but the net will be the same. That's what he's trying to say. If there are 12 minutes of breaks in a period, there will still only be 12 minutes, but we'll spend every minute of those reviewing calls to see if they were right. It's a nightmare. No, Rod, sorry.
Is it a nightmare?
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
I mean, why is it a nightmare, though? Like, if his idea is we'll be at commercial when we're reviewing, we're not seeing the review anyway.
The nightmare is, Joe, you're trying to tell me, maybe this is Let's Get Stupid. You're trying to tell me there's a call for hooking in the first period, 6 minutes in. You go to commercial break. When we come back, let's find out if the Sabres are indeed on the power play. Every penalty is reviewed during a commercial break. It's a hard... Let's get stupid. That is stupid.
What is the only problem, though, that we just don't know?
What do you mean?
When we go into the commercial break? Because this would be a way of accomplishing getting it right without prolonging the game.
Because every single penalty would be reviewed.
Yeah, I know.
This is the worst sentence I've ever put together, and you're over here entertaining it.
I'm entertaining it. I am entertaining it. I'm not saying I'd want to do it, but I'm not telling Brendan Moore that he's an idiot, because I think he's trying to accomplish the two things that are always pinned against each other, which is prolonging the game and, you know, getting it right.
Well, getting it right is a scourge itself. You don't need to get it right. I'm just trying to watch sports here. Let's move. Let's move it along. You got an interference call. Now, how would you put one against the other? Do you want this call to be made during the break? I thought all these leagues really like transparency and their rules analysts. Don't I need Don Kaharsky to tell me whether or not it is interference?
Well, hold on. He's definitely bringing us back from commercial break with his explanation.
These guys will make more than Joe Buck and Troy Aikman to be on the broadcast all the time.
They'll just be the only guys. It'll be the play-by-play guy and the rules analyst. We won't even have another analyst.
Who has time for play-by-play? Just explain to me whether or not the penalty's a penalty. So yeah, Brendan Moore laid that whole thing out, how he just wants everything reviewed. Which, my other takeaway when I was watching it was, this is why people that are in the game should not be running the game. The game should be run by somebody that's in charge of entertainment value. And the players, you know, kind of deal with it. When the NHL in 05-06 came out and stopped clutching and grabbing, people got mad about it. But it was for the betterment of the game.
Yep.
Right? The people that play it don't want it to happen. I've mentioned to you before, when the Premier League made it so you cannot, as a goaltender, pick up a pass back to you from your teammates that they kick to you.
Yep.
The most famous and accomplished manager in Premier League history said they were ruining the game. Like the guy, Sir Alex Ferguson, said it was a travesty. Of course, now it's totally normal that's a rule.
Right, I didn't even know that it
totally
didn't used to be.
Normal. Yeah. That's a rule. So people in the game hate these rule changes, and you know they're always too focused on getting it right or whatever, and justifiably. Like I get that. But yeah, that interview, I didn't plan on getting to that this early. But watching that, I thought that's why this guy and GMs and head coaches, they should not be voting on the betterment of the game.
What he really just wants is his season to not end on a bad call, which is, you know, good for him, I guess, that he got swept.
Right.
And it wasn't even close.
Here's the other thing.
Although he did, the game-winning goal to end his season did come in a power play. Although, I'd have to look at the penalty.
He's also still going to say that the call was wrong. Yesterday, Jamie Benn attempted to...
Jamie Benn yesterday.
He attempted to claim that he was simply falling and his stick landed on the face of Mark
his
Stone.
His landing point was a stick.
We got to review that. Should we bring in... Should we have the rules official? Should we have George Parros come in live to do it? Just like, hold on. Let's not kick Jamie Benn out of this game just yet. Let's get the Department of Player Safety. Call George. And we'll talk to him in a commercial, and we come back from break. Oh, actually, Jamie, he says he didn't mean to do it. So, no. It's the replay remains a necessary evil and the bane of our existence as viewers. It's terrible. You want every penalty in the,
don't need
in the
every
NFL reviewed?
I don't need every penalty reviewed. I like where the NFL's at now. I like where the NFL is at now.
Belichick wants to challenge a penalty.
Yeah, don't need that. Don't need that. I think the NFL's good. So, NFL is, things are reviewed and it's quick.
It is quick. They've got a little sky judge guy. So yeah. In the NFL, you don't.
And to me, it's not a coincidence that the NFL, review-wise, to me, is in the best shape of any of these four sports. And it's the sport right now where the referee has the least power. That the guy in the booth has more power than the guy on the field.
Right. They send it to the booth.
Yeah.
So you don't support coaches in the NFL challenging one penalty, but you do maybe support the NHL effectively challenging every penalty.
I mean, I don't want to go all the way with Brindamore. And he's not saying challenge. He said he's an automatic review.
Which is a challenge.
Which I guess is...
Every single review is a challenge.
Is worse. All right, Belichick wants one. Maybe just I heard Belichick had an idea and I automatically wanted to be against it.
That's all right.
Challenging a penalty. Like one challenge on a penalty per game?
Horrible. Nothing. Get it out. It's horrible. Every challenge, every replay, it's freedom.
I wouldn't want to add it. It's one of your two challenges.
No,
you can challenge. You have two challenges. I'm not going to limit. You can challenge whatever. You could challenge that they put the attendance number up on the board and it's 80. It's 80,000, and you say it's 70. You can challenge anything you want, but you only get two of them.
David and Elma likes this idea. David, come on, David. I'm not ready for this at 6 a.m. I wasn't prepared for this conversation.
Hey guys, I agree with Joe. Jeremy, you're acting like there's like 100 penalties called in one single game of hockey.
No, but there's like, what, five?
Yeah, but how many commercial breaks are there? More than five.
Every penalty would then be challenged. Would non-calls be challenged? What happens when there's a non-call? Does the NHL stop and review that during the break and call a penalty? Or is this just going to go the way of the offside review, where the review process only exists to take things away?
Okay, no, you got a good point there. Brindamore didn't go over that in his rule change policy.
he did not. Thanks, David. We gotta get Brindamore on a fireside chat. Let's get Elliot Friedman to follow up here.
The best point I've heard is that you're only taking away offense.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's what the offside review does. That's what challenging penalties would do.
That's what the offside review does.
I mean, it's just another way to make it so. In Rod Brindamore's world, there'd be what, half as many power plays? Do you think half the calls are bad? Do we take a break and say, actually, we got back from break, and Jordan Greenway got tripped. The Sabres are on the power play. That sounds terrible. We don't even get to see the call. It's a review?
Yeah.
I mean, man. I just want some... Thank you, David, for calling bright and early. I very much appreciate it.
The NHL, too. Does Brindamore want this in, like, playoff overtime?
Everywhere, yeah.
Because at that point, right, like we already throw our hands up and just like there's no rule book
I can
in
see
playoff
it,
overtime.
I can see it right now. We're back from break and the Leafs are on the power play. I'm sure everybody would just be just fine with that. Now you have the power to retroactively take penalties. Well, it looks like the Toronto was going to be shorthanded. They went back and reviewed and decided, no, it wasn't interference.
Hockey's too hard for this.
I can't be the only one that got to the world where every single review makes you personally upset, right?
I mean, for me, it might be different. I've never known anything else other than any other existence, right? Like, when I started watching sports, review was already a thing. So I don't even bat an eye when it happens.
But you don't think it's invasive at this point?
It is. I don't know, though. I feel like this is... It's baby steps along the way to where you inevitably get to something that's more streamlined and these leagues will be better at it. I feel like they're still just figuring it out. Well, and maybe the NHL, who is still looking at these plays on iPads with the guys on the ice, we'll just never figure it out. But, like, again, I want to kind of go back to the NFL that I feel like they've figured out the formula.
How do you feel about robot umps for balls and strikes?
Love it.
Yeah, that's as streamlined as you get.
But do you ever get to that? Well, I guess, what did they review for only a couple years before they went to that?
Yeah.
Review probably doesn't affect that at all. But technology in general, right? Like, eventually technology will be on a level to where they will be able to get it all right. Won't it?
Yep. Here's a good question. Sam in Batavia. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, you know, you guys are talking about penalties, and what do you do for the review? What do you do when the goaltender comes out of the net for, the delayed penalty, and if they were to score, then what happens with the review?
Then you go review it, and you take it off the board, Rod Brindamore, right? Actually, thanks, Sam. Perfect. Great point. Just another way to be a thief of joy. Yeah. I'm at a game at the arena. Hooray, the Sabres score the extra attacker. Go to the commercial break. Actually, the goal doesn't count because we do not think it warranted a hooking call. So, sorry, goal off the board.
Does Brindamore have a plan for what happens if they run out of commercial time?
No.
Reviews then stop?
That's right.
What happens? He said there's like, 12 minutes of commercial time? What happens if there were so many penalties that, okay, we've used up our 12 minutes? Well, now there's another penalty. Now what?
Well, then the officials would stop calling them.
They would just stop calling penalties in general?
Wouldn't the NHL, as a result of this, just add more commercials?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know.
I mean, if they could sell it, yeah, they would do it. The NBA does this a little bit, don't they? Not with penalties, but they'll go back like 5 minutes later and say that was a three-pointer instead of a two-pointer.
That's right. But that's not subjective. That's easy. Your foot was on the line.
Right.
NHL penalties. That's
the key, isn't it? Like, that's usually where my breaking point is. Like, replay doesn't drive me as crazy as it does you. But my breaking point is whenever we get into subjectivity, no. If any, this is a subjective call, I think I am out. But if it's not subjective, and I can prove one way or the other that one thing was right, then I'm okay with it.
What happens in the Super Bowl on that play that got the Chiefs in field goal position? What happens on that play? If the Eagles can challenge that.
Remind me. What is this play?
There was a holding play on Juju Smith-Schuster, was it Tony?
Oh, yeah. James Bradbury?
Yes.
Yes.
What happens if they challenge that?
Not subjective. Too bad.
So what's the right call? Like, Virgil writes in, getting it right. I'll always support getting it right. Right is not always yes or no. There are gray areas. One official would call it this way. Mm. One would call it that way. Which is getting it right?
That's a good question.
You could have this pursuit of it that takes away from the actual product. And that's the offside challenge. This pursuit of getting something right has done damage to your sport. And if you tried to... I don't know, what are you going to have, like AI challenging every holding in the NFL? I'm not making fun of that.
I'm being honest. It's funny, though.
Could the NFL buy some technology where AI will monitor offensive lines and flag holdings? Because it's the kind of thing, Joe, where you say there's holding on every play. Let's say tomorrow I invent that technology. I sell it to the NFL.
Yeah.
They run it for one game. It calls 70 holding penalties. What do?
They dial that thing right back. Dial the intensity.
Because it's not really about getting it right.
Well,
it's about the spirit of the rule.
That's right.
All these things are supposed to be about the spirit of the rule and spirit of the game.
That's right. But I'm thinking about Madden for this a little bit. Like, what is Madden? Madden is, they have that intensity meter on penalties, the sliders.
Sliders, yeah.
Because, that would be, is there some off in the distance technology where they'll be able to scan the entire football field and almost like plug it into Madden and have it be called as though it was Madden, which you would say for the most part, if it's a penalty in Madden, it's a penalty. Like, there's really no review in Madden because it's always just, that's just the way it is. So if you have that off in the distance someday, okay, I can scan the field and I can just like plug it into Madden and that's what the penalties are going to be called. Don't you dial? You can move that intensity slider around on like what penalties are going to be called, which is I guess what referees are trying to do anyways.
Yep. Yeah, I'm thinking about the sliders. Think about when you played Madden. If there were too many injuries, you dialed the slider back.
You just turn them off.
If you played a video game, and you might tell me this is different than actual playing the sport, but I would dispute that. You play NHL at home. You're just trying to have a good time. It calls 37 penalties in that game. And then if this, you know, this game could speak to you, it'd say, Joe, I'm just making sure I get it right. These are penalties. You'd say, I don't care.
Yeah.
If this is right, then it's wrong to be trying to be this right, if that makes any sense. CJ in Buffalo. What's up, CJ?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, what do you think about the NFL borrowing or taking the technology that they use in tennis? And you know how they show the animated replay of how the ball hit the line? I'm not worried too much about the line. I mean, maybe on sideline catches. But I would think if you put the referees that they use to explain a penalty that we already know, I would like them to show an animation of what the rule is and have the ref explain it, because some of the verbiage is like you just threw some words in there.
Are you talking?
It doesn't explain.
If you're talking about goal line technology, I think that's totally fine, right? Where like they have that in soccer, where the referee has his wrist buzz if it crosses the line. If you're talking about first downs, goal lines, to me, that technology could not be that far away and could be just fine. That's not the same as holding. That's not the same as
as
illegal contact.
So what I'm explaining is I'm talking about just the animation itself, and I would have how the ref, like while he's talking during a break or something, he also has a screen next to it so we can see what the rule is physically while he explains it, because sometimes they say words, and I'm not talking about the replay or anything, but like...
Well, CJ, penalty? Give me a specific penalty you're talking about.
Okay, so let's say the playoff game. Where it was a kick, and the Texans, it was called back.
That's one that they might have gotten the rule wrong.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. Let's talk about normal, everyday rules, because this whole conversation is about what it would do. Defensive pass interference. I mean, could you even necessarily think of what an animation of defensive pass interference would look like? There's 50,000 different versions of it.
Yeah, football is tough because of situational. Yeah. No, you're right about that. Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's not much you can do with that one other than pretty much take away the instant replays at this point, because most of them they get wrong anyway. Some of the obvious ones they don't get right regardless.
Right.
Acts the same.
They still do the – thanks, CJ. Thanks for the call. They still do the overcoming what's called on the field.
I think the NFL, they still have their mistakes.
The sky judge is better. I agree.
I think their accuracy rating is way higher than it used to be.
I agree. All I'm trying to do is say, but here's the thing. When you say the NFL's in the best place of the sports, you did say you think it's because it's expedited. It's fast.
Yeah, it's fast.
But
why is it fast? It's because the guy, there is someone that is just set up with the perfect environment to get to get the call right, but also to do it quickly.
But you don't, which do you care about more? That the guy, who that person is, or that it's fast?
Well, you want, what do you want as a dream? You want fast and accurate, right?
Well, forget accuracy, because again, accuracy is subjective on a lot of these.
Fast too, sure. Right? No, because even if...
Most important is fast.
Yes.
That's the most important. You could say getting it right is the most important, and I guess that's true.
It's the reason why you're doing
it.
You
don't want it wrong and fast every time, but you want it fast. And if it's Dean Blandino, who, you know, XFL, he's the guy, or if it's John on his couch, get it right and fast. All I care about. Get me out of there. Get this rules analyst off my screen. Get the replays to please stop. 803-0550. A little morning conversation. Thanks, Rod Brindamore. He wants every penalty reviewed, and he wants to borrow from commercial time. One quick text on this, and this is a fair point. Rod Brindamore wants to use commercial time so it won't be obtrusive to viewers. Imagine the experience actually being at the game would be like. You're there.
Yeah.
A penalty has been called. Does the guy sit in the box? Do the Sabres play their power play song, their music? You get ready. You're excited.
Uh-huh.
And then they come back from break, and they're pulling them out of the box. It was not a penalty.
Do they still have a power play song?
Yes.
They used to have that...
Coheed and Cambria.
Do-do-do-do. No, it was not somebody else.
That's the Westminster Chimes. They still might do that, but there used to be a song when the power play unit came out.
Okay.
All right, we have to get a break in. If you want to stick with us, 803-0550, we'll get through phone calls. I planned on starting with what happens in the NHL's Eastern Conference if the Sabres get one more win. Another conversation.
Yeah.
Because then Florida's not in it.
Uh-huh.
Florida's off to the Stanley Cup Final. Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour, off to the Stanley Cup Final with the Florida Panthers. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, more on this. We'll take your calls. We'll dig into that question about the Sabres as well here on a beautiful, chilly May 25th Thursday on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's going to look back and everyone's going to say you got swept. That's not what happened. I watched the game. I'm there. I'm cutting the game. We're in the game. That we didn't get. We didn't lose 4 games. We got beat, but it's, you know, we were right there.
Rod Brind'Amour.
Yikes.
Tough one. I mean, we didn't get swept. We didn't lose 4 games. That's exactly what did happen.
I need that clip just ready to go anytime someone wants to say this number or this analytic isn't true because I was there.
I watched the games.
And I watched the games. As if that means more when here's Brind'Amour basically making that claim with just the wins in the series.
Yeah.
He's trying to say... We didn't lose 4 games. I was there.
He's trying to say we were in this series even though we lost 4 games.
And I think I know what he's trying to say, right? Which is that they played 4...
Good games.
We're all close, right?
And I would say... Yeah. There's a little bit of a controversy about this, that ESPN's been too complimentary of the Lakers against the Nuggets. They also got swept.
Brian Windhorst said it was the greatest performance being swept in NBA history.
And that sounds absurd. It might be right. That series was good. It was great.
Oh, every game was close and entertaining.
Every game was good. And I was talking about this last night at Golf League with Bulldog, because this is a little bit before my time, but somebody else can let us know. The Sabres got swept in a series by Montreal. I don't know what year.
It was like early 80s.
And they lost every game 4-3 and a couple in overtime. Yeah, you got swept. Carolina got swept. The games were close. Is that a close series? You know, I guess you could you could dispute or debate whether or not it is, but I know that's what Brendan Moore is trying to say. Although, you know, to say we didn't get swept, you got swept. That's how it went. 803-0550. Want to dig in a little bit too. What happens if the Sabres win one more game and they have Florida's spot?
Yeah. What if Hudson Fashing doesn't kick in a puck?
And the Sabres, they would have had to win it in regulation to pass Florida.
Fair. Okay, right. That's right.
But still, what would have happened if the Sabres get the 8 spot instead of Florida? We'll dig into that a little bit. We started talking about the idea that the NHL should review all penalties because that's something that Rod Brind'Amour supports. All penalties. Every single thing gets reviewed. And then Joe and I started yelling about it. And Joe supports the man that says we didn't get swept after being swept.
I'm not supporting him. I'm just not quite laughing him out of the room entirely.
Oh, I'm not laughing.
Because all he's trying to do is replace the commercial time.
I'm very sternly getting him out of the room. Sir, please leave. We will not accept this idea. Rick in Jamestown. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I love you guys' show. I find it very humorous. Replay. Where do you start and where do you finish? I remember a hockey game. Now, you guys can help me refresh my memory. Buffalo Sabres are playing. It was several overtimes. I think it was against the Dallas Stars. The ice was foggy. Might have been at the old Odd. And Brett Hull was in the crease, scored the goal, and looked illegal, and they never reviewed it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an illegal goal, and it seemed like the refs couldn't wait to get off the ice and get a cold beer or something. What do you think of that game? And they had replay back then to see if the goal was good or not, and they never reviewed it.
Thanks, Rick.
What I've always wondered...
They claimed there was a memo, right? That's the story is, there was a memo.
That there was a memo. What was review at that point in time? Was there any? No, right? In the NHL?
Take us back to 1999. Was there review? No, right? There was review for Skate in the Crease at that time. And they did not review it because they ruled that he played the puck to himself.
What if that happens today? Do they review it?
Well, here's the thing. You are a league that can set whatever rules you want.
Yeah.
It used to be, if your skate was there,
yeah,
it's not a goal. And they took that away
mm-hmm.
because they thought, well, that's pretty dumb. We shouldn't be doing it where if you have a skate blade in the crease, it's no longer a goal. Where's that mindset? Where's that thinking when it comes to offside? All right, we shouldn't be taking goals off the board because your skate blade has come out of contact with a piece of blue paint by a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
But that used to be a rule. If your foot was in the crease, if your skate blade touched the blue, sorry, you're not eligible to score.
I often wonder about that, not about the replay element of it. The thing I wonder more about Game 6 against Dallas and Hull's goal is what would have happened had they showed a still shot from above on the Jumbotron while Dallas was celebrating. What if they showed everybody in that moment, hey, it's no goal? Because nobody in the arena knew what had happened. But what if everybody did know? Like Lindy, I know, like the story is that Lindy came out of the locker room after seeing the play
mm-hmm.
minutes after the goal had gone in, and he was screaming at Bettman, who was at the center of the ice, like about to award the Stars the cup, and he was screaming at Bettman. And what if that's always been my wonder, is not like what happened if they reviewed it, or would they review it now? It's what if they had put that up on the Jumbotron and showed everybody this is not a goal in the moment.
Yeah, well, there's a famous story, one of those NFL films things from way back when. The Immaculate Reception. You're familiar with that, right?
Yep.
Ball hits, was it Jack Tatum, picked up by Franco Harris, he runs it in. There's an old NFL Films clip where the officials huddle after the play, and one of them suggests that the ball did hit the ground. But they look around and they mm-hmm. say, I'm not about to call that incomplete. Like, we're in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
You going to make that call?
Yep.
I'm not going to make that call. Touchdown. And they leave. Like, who knows if that's just lore and legend about that? Maybe, you know, a Raider fan decided they wanted to tell that story because they feel like they got screwed. But that's a story on one of those NFL films that officials in a building, of course, there's home field advantage. And part of the home field is you're more likely to get calls at home. I saw yesterday, again, like with all this data, and sometimes, you know, some people feel the way about data being thrown into sports broadcasts the same way that I feel about reviews. So I respect that. But still, I saw this quick breakdown that crunching all the numbers on baseball balls and strikes, this is before robot umps, that umpires will call balls and strikes however the game ends faster, both ways. Doesn't matter.
Really?
Whatever will end the game,
that's how they call it.
That will get the call. That they don't maybe consciously think, I got to get out of here, I'm ready to be done.
Yeah.
But that the actual results indicate that umpires will call a game to end it. Strike zone needs to get bigger, end it. Strike zone needs to get smaller, that's what they'll do. Whatever you need to do in the moment, as an umpire, over time, you end up doing it. Subjectivity, man. Right?
I mean, that's hockey at the end of games, isn't it?
Yes.
No, actually, it's not. Because you would, if you wanted the game to end quicker, you would call penalties. Because then you wouldn't get a 4 overtime.
Right.
If you called 6 penalties before that, you wouldn't get 4 overtimes. If that ever becomes an issue, by the way, that's the simple answer. If we have too many, we've only had one this playoff cycle, I think, so it isn't. But these games that go to 2 o'clock in the morning on weekdays, if someone says, okay, we gotta get rid of this, you just start calling penalties. How about you just call the rule book also? That is always my biggest annoyance. Just call the rule book. Baseball too.
Well, that's where you get to back to our conversation about football. Well, if you call the rule book, you might have 70 flags.
And change the rule book.
And what's the number one thing? If you have a game where there are 40 penalties in the NFL, people will call and say the officials got too involved. They don't care if the calls were right. It's too many flags. And if you have a game with no flags, it's, you know, I love that they let them play. It doesn't matter if they interfered and held.
You hear that in hockey and even in the NBA. Do you hear that in football?
Yes, you do.
But you hear more often in football than the other sports, like a team being undisciplined.
Maybe.
Hockey, you never hear that.
If you've got Bills and Bengals and you find out that so-and-so's crew is on the call, they call the most penalties in the league.
Yeah.
Don't you think it must be their fault? It's not that they've had the games with the most penalties. You think these guys call penalties. Conrad in Cheektowaga. Hey, Conrad. Good morning.
Hi. Hey, listen, guys. I was there, and let me tell you something. The minute that goal went in, everybody rushed the ice. Reporters, everybody. There was no way they were taking those guys off the ice. Okay? There was such turmoil going on there. Nobody knew what was going on. So, you know, and it's Buffalo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, in Brindamore's NHL.
That would be reviewed.
It's getting called back.
In Brindamore's NHL, were there penalties in that game? Because all of those would have been reviewed, too.
The game would have ended an hour before because,
maybe there's no power play. Here's a question that, again, like, that's, so I'm in college when no goal happens. I'm not here in Buffalo. And you're what? How old? Three?
Four.
Okay.
I've been told I was watching the game, though.
Okay. We have the four falls of Buffalo as a thing you can watch to be transported back to those Super Bowl teams and watch everything about those teams. There's not a 30 for 30. Is there a comprehensive hour-long thing, an NHL special on no goal on that day, on the retrospective, what are the oral history where Lindy speaks and whoever, right? Like, does that exist?
It does not.
And
best I can do for you, there's like a YouTube channel out there that goes back into like controversial, I think it's a Bleacher Report channel that goes back into like controversial plays. Deep Rewind, I think was the name of it. So yeah, here it is. It's like a 15-minute video.
Okay.
But there's no, like, you're not talking to Lindy in that. There's no Bettman in that. There's no anybody, really. You're just, and it's basically like one guy that's digging up old clips. Like, this video, I think, is how I know Lindy went back on the bench and was, like, yelling at Bettman. It was in here. Brian Engblom, maybe in, like, in a locker room interview, like, after the game was saying it. But we don't have, like, a documentary on it. Hmm. And wouldn't that be because the NHL just doesn't want to highlight it?
Anybody could put one together. Somebody could put together a retrospective tomorrow and ask all the Sabres involved to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's definitively not one. If there is, you know, send it our way. Might tweet it out. What happened this morning? We got deep into no goal.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Did not expect that. 803-0550, Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, Evan DePasquale is producing. It is a chilly Thursday morning, and the Stanley Cup final is half set. The Florida Panthers are in, waiting for, maybe, the Vegas Golden Knights. If they get there, then the prophecy is complete.
Eichel
Reinhardt. V. Reinhardt. Eichel v. Reinhardt. Just like we all drew it up, Eichel and Reinhardt lead their team to a Stanley Cup final in 2023. Just like we drew it up.
Beats McDavid, all of it.
We'll get a break in. Yeah, Bobrovsky looking like a Conn Smythe winner.
Is that a debate, though? Kachuk is scoring game-winning goals in every game.
You're right. You're right. He has three game winners in that series?
Two in overtime and another one with
3 seconds left?
Might as well have been overtime.
That's right. That's right.
I wonder, I'll look to see if there's odds on it, because I bet that's going to be really close.
Yeah. Well, there's one more series to settle it.
Bobrovsky plus 200, Kachuk plus 300. Right there, neck and neck.
Aiden Hill plus 2,000 still.
1,400. He's a riser.
Yeah. All right, you can give us a call, 803-0550, and I'm going to give you the odds on Michael Block. How long will Michael Block and this madness about the PGA Pro who had the hole-in-one, how long will it go on? You can bet on him to make the cut at the Charles Schwab. He was invited to this, so maybe a quick note on Michael Block when we get back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Up now by Labushkin. Far circle. Labushkin sends it across. Scores! Kyle Opposo! What a play by Ilya Labushkin to slide it across, and Kyle Opposo gets the first goal of this game with 6:29 remaining in the third. Buffalo leads it 1-0.
And he didn't even try to kick it in. Opposo against the Islanders. He's back. 1 year, $2.5 million. Opposo, another year.
Kyle Opposo, the all-time leader in Sabres scoring among players they acquired in free agency, with 223 points. Any clue who second is?
Second.
Sabres free agency all-time scorers. It's tough.
It's got to be tough. Jason Pominville doesn't count, even though he was traded for. Sorry, they brought him back on a trade. Didn't re-sign him. Second place.
Opposo number one, 223.
What's the number two?
Second is 136.
136.
He's got 100 more points than any other player they've signed in free agency ever.
Boy, I don't know. Who is it?
Dixon Ward.
I was never going to get that. Meanwhile,
Brian Gionta, Spacek, Molson, Erhoff next on the list.
Erhoff would have been if he finished that deal.
Is he the best free agent ever that they've signed?
Erhoff?
Opposo.
Oh, I mean, Erhoff.
Erhoff. Right. He wasn't here long enough, but he...
He was good.
He was good. Actually, sorry, Newman also on this list.
Okay.
So he could be that answer, too.
Well, Opposo back, and we wait to find out about Gergensens. I hope Gergensens is not back, because I would like an avenue for some of these awesome, wunderkind, young kid forwards.
Yeah.
I need an avenue for Kulik to make the team. I need an avenue for Savoy to be on the team, or Lucas Rusek, or whoever, so... I'm kind of hoping they don't bring Gergensens back, because I can't block everybody.
They just have too much. They have a surplus.
Yeah, and they're probably going to trade Olofsson, but I can't block all these kids. I got to let them be great. Last year, they didn't have a bunch of guys on the roster to block Quinn and Peterka. They let them grow and play, and they played them through, you know, some growing pains. I'd like the same for the next group of guys. So Michael Block is plus 240 to make the cut at the Charles Schwab Challenge. If you want to bet Michael Block.
How do I bet against Michael Block? There's a odds boost on him. Like, I can't even find where you could bet against him to miss the cut, for instance. So
could it
also, you don't really want to root against Michael Block,
right? No, you don't. But is there some level of you know, the sequel's never as good as the original, what could he possibly do? I mean, of course, he should accept that invitation and play, and he should accept every invitation to play in these big events. But for the story of it, for the movie that's going to be made when he sells his movie rights, what happens in this chapter that keeps the story good? Just making the cut?
Yeah, making the cut.
If he misses the cut, is the story over? Like, how long can he, and I don't say this, I'm going to say milk this, but, and I'm not trying to, like, throw shade at him, but how long can he do this? He makes Charles Schwab, he misses the cut. He's going to go to the Canadian Open, he misses the cut. Is it over? He'll be back in next year.
It's over until he's at the PGA Championship.
Next year's at the PGA, and we remember the whole story, and that's cool.
I think it goes away, at least. And if it goes really bad, which it could...
Yeah, how bad could it go?
I mean, what did some of these pros, PGA professionals, shoot at majors? This is not a major, but...
No, it's Charles Schwab.
But what if he's 15 over?
Then we probably don't see much of it, and we don't hear about it.
Yeah. Because this was not the first time he played in a major. He's played in... It's 5 PGA championships and 2 U.S. Opens, and he never made the cut until this time. So odds are he's not going to make the cut against this field, I think. They talk like he wins every single tournament that's like among PGA...
The qualifiers?
Yeah.
He's a good golfer.
Yeah.
Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Thursday morning, the Panthers are on to the Cup Final, looking to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. Well, that... How do you feel about that? Let's get a break in and talk about two things. One, are we still snobs to the point where we're mad about Southern teams winning?
Uh-huh.
I mean, Carolina has theirs, Tampa has theirs, Dallas has theirs.
I got a question for you about the division, too.
And the division, and whether or not, like, what would it have all looked like if the Sabres were in their spot? Because they were one win away from taking Florida's spot. 803-0550. Give us a call on why it would have gone differently for the Sabres. What would have stopped the Sabres from doing what the Panthers have done? We'll kick that around with you, 803-0550 on WGR.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.